20 years ago, we were in Marks, Mississippi, and Rachel was about 8 years old, and she auditioned for a part in the Missoula Children's Theater. It's a traveling troupe that goes around, and they bring all the costumes with them, and kids from the community audition, and Rachel got a part. That meant 3 full days of rehearsal at the Panola County Arts Center, and then a fourth day, a full day of rehearsal and a performance that evening. It was a full family affair. Missy was with Rachel and the troupe, and I had Ben and Josh, who were 3 and 4 years old. And it didn't take long until they'd had all they could have of sitting still and being quiet while everybody else was rehearsing. So I took them over to where the choir room was. It was empty at the time, and they could run around there and play, and what they wanted to run and play was hide and seek. They said, "Daddy, you hide, and we'll come find you." Okay. I could hear them counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ready or not, here we come. And I hid and they found me. And then they said, "Daddy, we'll hide and you come find us." And I counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ready or not, here I come. And I started to call for them. "Where is Benjamin? Where is Joshua?" And I looked high and I looked low and I could hear them squealing, "Daddy can't find us. Daddy can't find us." And then there was a pause. "Daddy can't find us." And then a foot stuck out from the robes. Do you remember what that is like? There is something pure and innocent in children that calls out for what they need. It's a beautiful time of the year in our lives in December, but it's not full unless you're in Christ. The world around us is calling us to a time of endings. It's the end of the quarter. It's the end of the year. There are all kinds of things that are finishing. As soon as you put away the Thanksgiving turkey, you start anticipating Christmas and New Year's, where we'll celebrate the year that was or offer it good riddance, depending on how it treated you for the last 11 months. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, we're already commencing a new beginning. Advent. And not in any generic way. Advent calls us back not just to early childhood, but to infancy, to the very beginning of the story. The infancy of our Savior that reminds us that God loves us so much and trusts us so much that He became utterly helpless before us. And our own spiritual infancy, where we can acknowledge and get in touch with our longing and our dependence and our need to be found, our need to be needed. Christmas, if you look it up in the dictionary, means God is with you. In the Bible, sometimes it says it this way: the Lord is with you. We're going to hear an annunciation from the angel to Mary today. It's in the first chapter of Luke's gospel. We're going to begin in the 26th verse. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it there with us? The gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter and the 26th verse. And there the scripture says, "And it was in the 6th month that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, 'Hail, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' Mary was greatly troubled at his saying and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. But the angel said unto her, 'Fear not, Mary. The Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. Behold, you shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of Most High shall overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. Behold, Elizabeth, your cousin, she also has conceived a child in her old age, and it is the sixth month with her who was said to be barren, for nothing is impossible with God. Then Mary answered, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. We call this passage the Annunciation. That's a fancy church word, but what we mean is the call. The reason that Mary is blessed among women is God is calling her. Specifically, God is calling her to bring the Messiah, to bring Jesus into the world. This passage follows immediately on the heels of another Annunciation story, another call story. We tended it last week, that of Zechariah, who was the priest. Now, we expect ministers to have calls, but sometimes we forget that God is calling all of us. That in this church, each member is a minister. Now, Mary is an unlikely minister in the world from which she comes. She held no official position in her community. The Bible doesn't say that she was righteous, that she observed the Torah in the right kind of way. Her experience didn't even take place in a church. She is, in fact, one of the least powerful people in the world from which she comes. She's young in a world that values age. She's female in a world that values men. She's poor in a world where wealth is the measure of power. And yet the angel of the Lord came to her and said, Blessed are you among all women. Mary was chosen apparently not for some value to which the culture clings and not for what she does or what she has, but for some reason tucked away inside the purposes of God. She discovers in that moment that she has a grace and she was not even conscious of it. Her first reaction was terror. She was greatly troubled. And her second was to try to figure out, what is this utterly foreign word that the angel has speaking to me? She has grace. And she did not even know it. The very idea was foreign to her. And we can tell that the idea was foreign to her because Mary didn't respond to Gabriel by saying, Well, I'm so glad you're finally here. I made some tea. She did not see this coming. She was astonished that she had received this kind of grace, and so should we be. Grace is like wearing a perfume that you yourself cannot smell, and you don't even really know when it was applied. And it's like that for everyone. There is this great scene at the end of Matthew's gospel, the judging of the nations, and there are the goats on Jesus' left. And he tells them that they are headed to the outer place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And they say, When did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or sick or in peril? And we expect that from the bleeding goats in this story. But then the real surprise came. The sheep, the righteous who were on Jesus' right, said the same thing. When did we see you hungry? The sheep were utterly surprised to discover they really were sheep. They had experienced an unselfconscious grace. Or go back farther in the story to Gideon, who's one of Mary's ancestors. Gideon was hiding in a hole when the angel showed up and greeted him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now Gideon was hiding in a hole because he was afraid of invaders. And God named him a mighty man of valor. Anyone else looking at Gideon would have seen a guy hiding in a hole, filled with fear. But God saw a mighty man of valor. And God saw in this teenager in Nazareth the mother of the Son of God. And who knows what God sees in you? And yet, even when God sees things in us, we get to choose whether we're going to participate in the grace that God wants to give us. There's a moment in this story, just a moment, mind you, where everything could have unraveled and gone the wrong way. The angel appears and Mary's greatly troubled and she begins to wonder at this saying, "What kind of greeting is this?" And the angel says to her, "Fear not. Behold, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and bring forth a son, and you're to call his name Jesus. He'll be great, the Son of the Most High. He'll sit on the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end." Can you see that scene? Mary's minding her own business, probably in her own home, when the angel of the Lord appeared to her. I don't know how things go in your house, but that would be a rare occasion in my house. And she's told by the angel she's found favor with God, which means that she'll be pregnant out of wedlock, and that she'll carry to term and deliver a boy, and she, not her husband, are to give this boy a name, Savior, Jesus. And this peasant king will become the sovereign king of the whole world. And Mary responded to the angel and said, "Look, there's a reason this plan can't work. I'm a virgin. I don't know if you know, angel of the Lord, how children come into the world. But this is impossible." And isn't that how we all are? It's how Zechariah was. And it sounds from the surface as if Mary is in the same place, but evidently there was an openness in Mary's question that there wasn't in Zechariah's question. And it's important that we think about these things because it's important for us to know that this is not a one-off, that this angelic offer to Mary is not unique in the world. This offer is the prototype of the offer that God makes to each of us, to all of his disciples. St. Luke wrote two books. He wrote this gospel that we're attending today, and he wrote another book called The Acts of the Apostles. The gospel, according to Luke, tells the story of the life of Jesus. The Acts of the Apostles tells the story of the life of the early church. In the first chapter of Luke's gospel, the angel of the Lord appears to Mary in Nazareth, and he explains to her, this will all happen because the Holy Spirit will come upon you. In the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the risen Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Same author, using the same phrase in the same context. And Luke is telling us that the Holy Spirit comes to each of us and enables us to do more and to be more than ever we could be on our own. Mary is the first example in the New Testament of what happens when God's grace and God's love come into the world through a human being. And Jesus makes this invitation, this same invitation to every disciple. The claim of our faith is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Each one of us is theotokos. Each one of us is a bearer of God. Jesus Christ is to come into the world through us on a daily basis, because God is calling each of us, as God called Mary, to be ministers of the good news. And when that call comes to you and when it comes to me today, it is just as dauntingly impossible when we hear it as it was when Mary heard it. So the question really is, what will we do? What will we say when God calls us to do the impossible through us? I mean, we have our lists of why it's impossible at the ready, don't we? I'm too young, or I'm too old. I don't have the experience. I've already done my part. I'm just starting my career. I'm at this critical juncture. I just retired. My children take up all of my time. Say what you will. It is just a variant of saying, how can this be? What we have to learn to do is hear the angel declare, nothing is impossible with God. Everything changes. Everything changes in our own lives, and everything changes in the world when we learn to hear and to heed those words. When Mary heard them, she changed from "it cannot be" to "let it be in me, just as you have spoken it." When God called Mary, she said simply, "I'm the servant of the Lord. Whatever you ask, whatever the cost, wherever it leads, whatever it means, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be unto me even as you have spoken it." I believe that you are the God who keeps impossible promises. And Jesus said that's what's supposed to happen in our lives. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do the things that I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, Jesus said. Which means if we want to participate with God in the work of redeeming the creation, if we want to be found by the God who made us, then we have to get past our lists and say with Mary, "Let it be unto me, even as you have spoken it. I am the servant of the Lord. Let your power and let your grace come into the world through me." Christmas means, ready or not, that God is calling you. The Lord is with you. And His calling your name is a part of His call upon your life. The good news of Advent is the Lord is with you. And you, and you, and you,